and to know you, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you. We lift up your word this morning in Psalms 119, and we pray that you speak to each and every one of our hearts, that you minister to us, Lord, and that we hear from you loud and clear, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 This morning, we will be in the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Today, we live in times that are very difficult. Everything around us seems to be falling apart or getting worse. As we listening about Israel this morning, and again, the bombs that have been brought there, and a school bus got hit, and a young kid is in the hospital, and just these things. And, you know, it seems like we're being pulled in either two directions. One is the direction of the flesh that wants to dominate us and bring us back to become a natural man, which is living after ourselves and in many cases, living a sinful life. And then we have the direction of the Holy Spirit within us that's pulling us to live a godly life with God. And that's what our series is about, being ready in these last days. And we as Christians, we need to maintain purity. We need to maintain the cleanliness of God in our hearts and in our lives before Him. And not for really for each other, though we will benefit from that, but really before God today more than ever, because we believe that His return is imminent. It's soon. It's at any moment. And we must be prepared when He comes for His church. And we know that apart from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God, that we cannot do this in and of ourselves. It is only in through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can remain ready for Him, as the Holy Spirit lives in us and empowers us to live for Him. And because of that, this morning, I hope you're here because you want to be encouraged in the Lord. And you want to be more like Jesus in your life, and you desire that relationship with Him. And this morning, we continue to study God's Word, because it's His Word that will help us get to where we need to be. So we must take time to be clean. I always think about that. It's like I must take the time to take a bath. And, you know, how would you like me to come every week and never shower? And then greet you with a nice holy hug? You might not like it. It might not be something you would really want to smell. And so it's a good thing I take a shower, right? Well, in many ways, that's the same way with our Christian walk. We are cleansed because of Jesus Christ, but we live in a fallen world. And that this fallen world, the elements of it just kind of fall on us. I mean, I've seen this picture clear in my mind so many times. There's the billboards we look at, the television shows we're looking at, and you flip a channel, and, you know, if you're a guy, they got all these girls in their bikinis and all this stuff, and your mind goes wherever it goes. And if you're a woman, they got these other things for you, and your mind goes wherever it wants to go. And all this stuff just kind of gets on you, and then all of a sudden, there's just this yucky feeling. You know what I mean? When you haven't, if you missed the shower for two, three days, you could be in your home sick, and you'll feel the gunk, and you go, you know what? I got to take a shower, man. And it's the sort of the same way within our spirits. We need to be bathed. We need to be washed, and not for the forgiveness of sin for salvation, but just because we live in this fallen world. And so I believe it's through the Word of God that we take these showers and we continue to be clean before the Lord. And so this morning we're going to study Psalms 119. Now, Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. And when I start and begin to read verses 1 through 176, I'm going to talk really fast because I got to get through the 176 verse. No, not really. We're going to study verses 9 through 16. I practiced the 100%, but I couldn't do it. But we're just going to study 9 through 16. Except for verses 90, 121, 122, and 132, every verse of this Word of God utters these names or mentions the name of the law, the testimony, the judgment, the statute, the commandments, the precepts, the ordinances, or the way, or the Word of God. They all refer to the Word of God. All but four verses, every verse mentions one of those words, all directing us to the Word of God. And so this morning, I want to share on verses 9 through 16. And the psalmist asks here the question, verse 9, How can a young man cleanse his way? That's the question that's asked here. And Psalms 119 is broken down by 8 verses all the way through. And there's different subjects involving those 8 verses. But this verse comes in and he says, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can he... the word cleanse here means translucent or clear, pure. It has the idea of to be innocent. And he says here, how can a young man be pure, be innocent in his ways? And ways is a trodden path. It is the manner of life that we are living. It's how we are, what our actions are a part of, our who, what is our character. And so he's asking, how does a young man keep his character right? You could put it that way. How does a young man, how does a person keep his character right? And he tells us the answer. By taking heed according to your word, God's word. That's how you stay right. That's how you stay clean. That's how you stay pure. By taking heed according to your word. Heed means guarding, protecting, or watching. So we must protect and watch and guard what's happening. And we do this by the word of God, the spoken or written, and the Strong's Concordance, it says the repeated word. It's the word that's been passed down from generation to generation, from the time of Moses and really from the beginning when God first spoke. In the beginning there was nothing. And as we learn and study and read God's word, these words are passed from one generation to the next. And so we must guard his word. We must think about his word and we must take heed to it. And he says, if you take heed according to your word, then you will remain cleansed. You will remain pure. You will remain right before God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Through Jesus' word, he says, you are clean through what I have spoken to you. So we know it's important to know what he has said. We know it's important to understand his word. And if you have a red letter Bible, it's reading the red letters. It's interesting. One of the great teachers that I believe of our century today is Damien Kyle. I love the way he teaches. And he is going through a series of In the Steps of Jesus, and he's just covering what Jesus did. He's taken him, I think, 4 or 5 years to go through this series that he's doing right now. It's a long series, and it's very topical, but at the same time, he's just covering the red letters and expounding on them. And as I've been listening to him for many years, I just love the way he teaches. He's so basic and down to earth, and God just seems to give him an understanding of subject as he reads. And so, you know, reading the word of the Lord. Romans 10:17 tells us, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order to live the life of purity and cleansingness, you have to have faith in the word of God. Now, you know, I talk to 2-3 people probably a day. Some from this fellowship, a lot on the phone from California and different places that I talk with people that we communicate, and we're always sharing about different stuff. And I, you know, I hear a lot of problems, and I try to give a lot of biblical guidance and what God's word says. And this last 2 weeks, because of what's happened to my brother in California, and talking with him and talking with my buddy Nick and some other people, the Lord has really been ministering to me about his word, and again, living by faith in his word. And one thing that we can do is try to analyze every word and never gain faith. And we must come to a place where we just believe his word and we don't have to analyze it. And when I talk to my brother, you know, that's one of the things he likes to question. And I said, dude, you just need to live by faith. You need to trust what it says and then just move on it. And sometimes I don't think it's wrong to analyze. I think it's a good thing, but there has to be a place where we finally just say, I accept it. I'm done. It's mine, and I want it, and I want what you say about it. And so Romans, Paul wrote, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the more we know God's word, the more we can have the faith to believe in his word. And so this is a very important element to be remaining pure. How can a young man cleanse his way? He must examine it according to God's word. Carefully, he must hear what God has said concerning it, and then we must live by that word. The NIV puts it this way: how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. How do we remain in this path of purity? By living God's word. Now that's easy to say. Sometimes it's harder to do. But really, if we're in his word, it's not all that hard. I found this week alone for myself, I make it hard. I'm the one that makes it more difficult because of the way I think and the way I want things to be done. And I realized just this week, it's me. It's not God's word that's been hard. It's me that's been hard. I'm the one that's made it difficult. Notice what the psalmist says next, verse 10. He says, "With all my heart, I have sought you." Interesting, Dennis says he didn't have a scripture, but he remembered when he first met the Lord and how it was all exciting and it was all great. Everything that was there, that's true. There is a part when we come to him and we seek him with all our heart that everything just becomes so blessed. Everything looks new and different. Things come our way, we don't care. I don't care that this happened to me. I don't care that my car got totaled. I don't care that the financial people are all looking for me and I'm getting 10 letters because I owe all this. Oh, well. You know, we just go, oh, well. Praise the Lord. We have no worries. But through time, we kind of forget God. And then what happens? The worries start coming back. We forget to trust him and believe that he's going to work everything out for our good. And we must continue, as the psalmist says here, that with all my heart I have sought you. Notice it's a personal decision here. With all my heart, not your heart, my heart. With all my heart, I have sought you. With all my heart, my feelings, my will, my intellect. With all that I am, I have sought you. And the word sought means to pursue or search or to follow. And I wonder how many of us have done this or are doing this. Searching for the Lord with all that we have. I think this is one of the stumbling blocks of why we don't have victories in our lives. Because we're not really searching God for God with all of our hearts. We're searching for him so what we might gain or what we might get or to get by. But here he says, no, it's all the heart. In other words, there's a 100% dedication to this relationship with God. It's not just part-time. It's 100% and beyond. It's everything that I am. My whole life is centered around God, and all my decisions are made based upon God's word. Until we must live that word. Under Asa, Judah made a vow to seek the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 15:15, we read, "And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around." When they sought him and made that vow to seek him with all their hearts, the Lord gave them rest from the battles that they were going on, from everything that was taking place at that time. When Esau became and changed the king and changed things, he sought the Lord and said, "The people, we must seek God with all that we have, and we need to make this vow." And they said, "Yeah, we'll do it." And then God gave them rest. And when I was reading this, I was thinking, man, Lord, isn't that so true? When we seek you, you just seem to work everything out. But when we half-heartedly do it, things don't always work out. There's always some more trouble involved with it. "Oh, let me not wander from your commandments," he says. "With all my heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." Wander means to stray, to be misled, or to be mistaken. The idea is to be deceived or to err and sin through ignorance. To wander away, to be misled or to be mistaken in our interpretation of who God is, maybe, and then sin through ignorance from what his law, his commandments, his ordinances, basically his word. Don't let me be deceived from following your word, the psalmist says here. Don't let me be deceived from what I believe. Don't let others influence me in such a way that they deceive me through their cunningness or through their false teaching. And I come to realize that if our whole hearts are seeking God, then our actions will not stray from Him, because we give Him everything we have. And this is what the psalmist is writing about. Unfortunately, I believe many of us seek God half-hearted, and this is why we're struggling today. As I talk to people and I hear the things that they say and what they're going through, and I've looked at my life and the times I've struggled and look, and I realize, you know what, I'm not seeking God with everything I have. I just want things to be okay or to be better. But here he says, no, you got to seek Him with everything. And then he cries out, Lord, don't let me wander from what Your Word says. Don't let me be strayed away or misled. Keep me on that path that You have for me. And there are many things that try to keep to wander us. There are many temptations and things and people that entice us. They want us to fall back away from God, or to be into a relationship we shouldn't be, or to be into sexual sin, or to be into gambling, or just into entertainment, what we call the natural man, just to be natural and live for myself. And all these things are trying to tempt us from the life of God and living the pure and holy life that He's called us to live. We must be on our guard against the enemy and the tricks. And you can't just look at Satan and say, I got to find Satan. No, he works through individuals. We must remember, he works through individuals. He uses people to influence people. Verse 11 says, Your word have I hidden in my heart. Your word have I hidden in my heart. The word of God, hidden, is to hide or to reserve or to treasure, is a good interpretation here, or translation. Your word I have treasured in my heart, in my feelings, in my intellect, in my mind. What are some of the things you treasure? And is God's word there? In that which you consider most valuable? And a better way, I think, to look at it is to say, of everything that you treasure, what is the most valuable? Is it your job? Is it your wife or children? Is it your possessions? Is it your 401 that you're looking for later? Or is it the Word of God that is most important to you? The most treasure of all things. What is it that we treasure? Your word have I treasured in my heart. And notice that in order for this to happen, he must be spending time in the Word of God. You cannot treasure something you don't put into you or have. I believe that he had treasured the Word of God up to the point of what was available for him at that time, which we know the five books of Moses. And as we look at this, it reminds me of how I need to spend time in the Word of God so I can treasure His Word in my heart. This is where our ability to stay pure comes from, His Word. And as I was meditating upon these passages and studying and examining and looking and realizing that, you know, as I read, I don't just read to read, but I read to know Him and what He has to say for me. And are you reading to know Him and what He has to say for you? And it's interesting, as I've been reading for so many years, I realize that there are times I still struggle. There are times I am still tempted. But I also know, because of who He is and what He's done and what His Word says, I also remain pure. I doubt it many times. Sometimes my actions don't seem to line up with God's Word, but yet through it all, He seems to get me through it. Because I forget that I am still a natural man. And the Bible teaches that the natural man will always be at war with the spiritual man. I tend to forget this because I just want to be a spiritual all the time. And sometimes I drop my guard and I don't realize that the natural man, which is the sinful part of man, always wants to rise up and it does things that it shouldn't do. And then I'm fighting this battle and I feel condemned, I feel bad, I feel lousy. And then I was reminded this week, I must continue to repent. And the moment I do, I am perfectly right with God once again. I've never lost my salvation through it. It's just Him working things out. And I was reminded of that this week, that I must never give up on repenting when my natural man, I used to think he blindsides me. I didn't see the punch coming. And he knocked me. And then when I realize what's happened, I'm able to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Instantly, I have no condemnation. I have no guilt. I have none of those things I was struggling with the minute before. They're all gone. Why? Because my relationship with God was once again restored when I was blindsided and I was able to get up and use the Word of God and kind of throw a counterpunch and hit the enemy and just keep going with my walk and my love for God. And so we may struggle, but we must know the Word of God. Here's the problem. We struggle with the Word of God. I don't know how many people in 28 years that I've talked to that have come up to me in 28 years and said, this isn't happening. And when I ask them, are you reading? Well, no, not really. Next time I'm going to say, duh. Jesus, no wonder why you're struggling. You're not even in the Word. Well, I'm too tired. It's too early in the morning. Read in the afternoon. Read at night. But read whenever you get a chance and encourage yourself in the Word of the Lord. I don't say I read every day. I've struggled like the rest of you. There's periods of times I'll not read Scripture for myself for a month straight. I'm in the Word to teach and all this stuff. And then I realize, man, my personal relation, I feel sluggish sometimes. Yes, I can come up here and give a sermon and it'll be whatever God wants it to be for you. But me personally, I realize, man, Lord, I haven't been reading for me either. I'm not in my devotions. I'm not studying for me. And what are you trying to say for me? And then I have to get back in there and force myself to read so I can remain strong in Him because I don't want to do what this next verse says, that I might not sin against you. One of my greatest fears is to sin against God. It truly is. Over the years, if there's anything I've learned through the Word of God, is that I don't want to sin against God through my actions or my character. And so I must read. I must continue on to remain pure, to remain faithful before Him. Again, it's not in my own efforts or actions that will get me to heaven. I'm already saved, but in my relationship with Him, I must remain pure. And so I continue to study, I continue to read, because I don't want to sin against God. Not sin means to forfeit or to lack or to be condemned against God. Or to sin means that all sin ultimately are done against God. They affect each of us, but really the true heart of sinning is against God. And that's the thing that I think we need to make a reality within our hearts and within our minds, that when I do, it's against Him. And when I sin against God, that relationship is broken. Not salvation, just the relationship. And that's why there's that conviction of the Holy Spirit that keeps trying to bring us back to that place of repentance. And I believe this is why the psalmist wrote what he wrote. He had hidden the Word of God in his heart so he wouldn't sin against God. And it's a good reminder that I must treasure His Word if I don't want to sin. And God has provided or proposed that we hide His Word in our hearts in order to do that. So this morning I would just have to ask you quietly within your hearts, how's your time in reading God's Word? And are you treasuring the things that you are reading? And more importantly, are you making it personal? Do you understand that this is a book written to you, for your relationship with him. Not for everyone else. I'm talking about just you and your relationship with God, as I have my relationship with God. Do I understand that this book is written to me? And it's to help me in my life and in my relationship with God, to help me know God, to help me know Jesus, to help me know the Holy Spirit. And as I read it and absorb it and put it in me, I get to know who they are individually, but also as a Trinity in one. And I recognize who God is, and it's in there, and it helps me to remain clean through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love it because Satan will come and tempt, and he'll do whatever he can, but he will not conquer. He's not allowed to conquer me. He's allowed to tempt me, and he's allowed to try all kinds of tricks. But as long as I have God's word in my heart, he'll never, ever overcome me, as he could not overcome Jesus when Jesus responded by, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Even Jesus just used the word of God to fight against the enemy. And I believe we need to use the word of God, but it has to be in our hearts. Again, I ask you quietly, how's your devotion? How's your time in God's word? And if you want to make excuses, make them to yourself. Or make them to God, because he's the one that cares. He's the one that desires that time of fellowship with him and to know him. But I will say this, if you're doing it in time, you will see the victories. You'll have the setback, but you will see the victories over time. I believe you will live more in the spirit than you will when the flesh tries to bring you the naturalness. And living in the Spirit is awesome. It's nice to know that we're right with God. And he says, "Blessed or praised are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." How to bless God, because the word was in him. And he says, continue, basically, teach me your statute. Continue to instruct me. Continue to help me learn your word, your statutes, your covenant, your customs, your laws. Everything that you've written and spoken. Teach me, Lord. A.W. Tozer wrote this. He used to warn against being man-taught instead of God-taught. The Lord has given us teachers of his word to his church. We should listen to what they have to say. But unless the truth we hear moves from the head or the notebook, the note-taking, into the heart, written by the Spirit, and then to the will, we have not really learned the word. Not in hearing the word, but in doing it. I like what he wrote, because it's true. Men will teach us, Jeremiah 3:14, "I will give you teachers according to my heart, and they will teach you all with knowledge and understanding." What we need to know, and there are plenty of blessed men and women that teach us the word of God and help us to understand God's word. But unless we follow this commentary of A.W. Tozer and move it from our minds and our notebooks into our hearts, where it becomes action, living word flowing out of us, it really does no good. We can quote 100 verses up and down all over, but unless they impact the heart of who I am as an individual, they mean nothing. They're just words spoken out, thrown into the air. If my life don't change by them, if my conduct or my character don't line up with his, what good does all that knowledge of God's word mean? I tell you that because when I first got saved, I could quote hundreds of scriptures. I didn't live many of them, but I could quote them, man, better than most people. I studied like crazy. I could quote verses. But people still thought I was a jerk. They still saw the, not even a chip on my shoulder, they saw logs on my shoulder. Ask Brother Al. He knew me good. He'll testify. Yeah, I can quote scripture, but that didn't do me no good if my character didn't line up. It's not until it became a part of my heart and the changes came that this got shorter and shorter and shorter till I hope you don't see any chips on my shoulder. And if you do, knock them off. I don't need that stuff in my life. And so we study and we read, and but it must be planted within the heart. Verse 13, with my lips I have declared all judgments of your mouth. I have spoken your word for myself and to others. Everything that's in his heart. Now, he's not talking about just quoting a verse here. This guy is talking about what's inside of him. And he's living this word of God and he's speaking it forth. He says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. Notice what he says here. He's rejoicing in the things that God has written. And he considers the word of God more valuable than any possession he might possess. More than anything he might own, it is the word of God that he has and rejoices in as he shares this word of God, that it's more important than anything he could possibly own. I rejoice in what you have done as much as I have enjoyed what money can buy me. The rejoicing of the word of God and what it has to say and how it guides us and leads us in that life of holiness. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your words. Verse 15, I will meditate, ponder, or converse with myself about your ways. The idea is to think over and over and over about the verses that you are reading. See, as a brand new Christian, it's okay to read. It's great. But as we mature, like any child, there comes a time when I must slow down that reading process and begin to think about what it's actually saying. And to meditate means to repeat it over and over and think about it. It's like dice. How many of you remember science when you dissect a frog? You guys remember that? You don't just cut it up and say, okay, put that in the boil. We're going to have frog legs for lunch today. No, you open it up and you start looking at it and you start examining it. And the more you look, the more you see. Inductive Bible study teaches us the same thing. The more you look, the more you see. And the idea is to look at it. I will meditate on your precepts. What is precepts? Commandments. A rule of moral conduct. And he says, I will meditate on your word. I will look at it and examine it and bring it into my mind, but I want it settled in my heart. Because I want to live by it. And so we look at it and he says, I meditate. I ponder your word. Now here's something I believe that this is saying when I think of pondering and thinking about it over and over. He's not questioning it. Okay? He's not arguing against it. I find when I argue against the Word of God, it's because I want to prove something for myself. Or I want to justify something in my life. No, the idea is I am looking at it, and I am absorbing it, and it's becoming a part of who I am. It's like I'm eating it. You could shove a whole bunch of grapes in your mouth and choke, or you can grab one at a time and enjoy it. How many of you shove a bunch of grapes in your mouth? Those were good. And how many of you just grab them? Oh, man, this is good. One at a time, that's the idea. You just enjoy what's there. Not questioning it, but enjoying it and let it sink in. I meditate on your precepts and contemplate. Contemplate, the definition says, to consider, to look, regard to your ways. I consider what you're having to say. I look at what you're having to say, and then I regard it. I look, consider, and regard your ways, he says, your manner, your path. Again, the NIV says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Thinking about them, absorbing them, bringing them in. It means to look intensively and see what they mean. Again, I'm not questioning them. And again, there's nothing wrong with the occasional, Lord, I don't understand. Versus, well, that don't make sense to me. Well, who are you? You're not God. God is God. I really don't care. It don't make sense to you. But what is God trying to tell you? And what he's saying here is he's considering it. He's looking at it. And he's looking for God to speak so he can put it in his heart again. He's considering, looking at it. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Delight, it's fun. It's the first word says it's to amuse. It's to amuse. The first part of it is to amuse. It means pleases. He's pleasing himself. Having fun. Man, that's a whole different idea, isn't it? Having fun with God's word. I mean, we always think of the legalistic part of God. Well, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can do this, you can't do, you shouldn't do that. Everything's kind of a yes and no. But here he's saying, hey, I'm delighting, I'm having fun with this. This is again, what Dennis said this morning to me is almost profound. This is exciting. I like this. This is great. Man, I enjoy what I'm reading about. This is ministering. This is helping me. I delight myself in your statutes. I delight is to capture my attention. To capture my attention, to think about it and to meditate on it. And then he says, and I will not forget your word. Notice this word in the Hebrew, not to forget means to mislay your word. Just put it aside. Just forget about it till another time. I will not forget your word, he says here. It's in my memory. It's a part of who I am. And I'm not going to mislay it. I'm not going to neglect it. I'm not going to forget about it. Like some of us forgot our anniversaries. Forgot to buy the flowers and forgot to buy the things that we needed. I love that commercial where the guys and his wife calls and he's, you can do the talking and on the internet. Oh no, honey, well, we got dinner, it's on the way. I'll be there, I'm on my way. And he, you know, he's got it all taken care of. Man, I could have used that. My first anniversary, I forgot. I wish the technology was there then. It wasn't expensive, I'm sorry. Don't forget, man. Today, you write that stuff on your cell phones, you put a reminder thing, you get on your internet, you put a 5-day reminder email, it's 5 days to your anniversary, buy gift, buy some flowers. You got to do it all, man. And there's no excuse today for forgetting. There really isn't with this technology. But the idea here is he said, I'm not forgetting. I will not forget your word. And these are the things that the psalmist talks about in his life, to take heed that he seeks God. He hid God's word in his heart, and he declared it. He rejoiced in it. He meditated on it. He contemplated it, and then he delighted, and he did not forget. Read them again on your own. Meditate on them on your own. Think about what these verses are saying. These are all the ways to maintain, to continue to be clean, holy, and pure through the Word of God. The question I should ask myself is, am I doing these things? What the psalmist said in verses 9 through 16. Is this a part of my life? Is this a part of what I am doing? I'm out of time, but read Romans 7, 14 through 25, and then Romans 8, 1 through 11. They're connected together. Again, Paul talks about his struggle, and he talks about his victory. And as I was reading them again and being reminded of those things again this week, Paul learned what it is to struggle. He knew what it was to fail. But you know, one thing I realized as I was reading it again this past week is that it talks about the reason why the struggle's there, and the reason why the thing is because really sin was present and there was a desire for it. And for my own conviction, I don't know about your, but for my own conviction, it made me realize this is why I struggle. Because there are things I'm not letting go of. There are things I want to continue to handle and allow to be a part of my life and not recognize them for what they are. And then I say, God, I don't understand. Why isn't the power there? Why am I not getting victory there? Well, because in your heart, you really want it. In your heart, you're still desiring it. In your heart, this is what you really crave for. And just this week, I come to realize, Lord, I need you to change my heart. I need you to wash me again brand new. And I need you to be first and foremost above everything else that's going on in my heart right now. Because I want to be holy. I want to be clean. I want to be pure before you. I know he's coming back. And I know there's a spiritual battle that takes place in all of our lives. But we must continue to fight against those temptations, those drawings that want to bring us away from the things of God and a relationship with God. I've watched those who have surrendered to it. I watched them, what we call backslidden, into some vile things. It's not a place I desire for any of us to go. And I pray for all of us that we would encourage each other in these things of the Lord to read the Word. If you get tired of us saying read the Word, you know what? It's because we love you. And we know that's how you're going to overcome. You might get tired of it. You might not like it. But ultimately, it's what we all need, is to be in His Word. And that's what this psalm says. According to His Word. Not the TV, not the radio, not Christian worship, not all these things. It is His Word that's brought into our hearts. Then you can enjoy some of those things I mentioned and watch with honesty and without conviction. How many of us are watching stuff that we're convicted of through the whole time? I mean, I've gone to movies and say, this, no. Tell my wife, let's go. We're getting up. We're leaving. I'm not going to watch this stuff. And then I go ask the theater guy, hey, I need my money back, man. This wasn't what I thought. And they usually always give me my money back or another ticket for something else. Watch good stuff. We have good movies up back there you can rent for free. You feel bad about it, drop a dollar in the box. We're all right. You want to feel like you did something right. But read His Word, know it, and let it live in you through your heart. Amen? Amen? Father, again, we thank you for these verses that speak to us so loud and clear. And I know we each heard something for ourselves. And Lord, I would just pray this morning that we would meditate on it, that we would treasure your word, Lord, as you said to us, and delight in it. But Lord, we need your help to even to do that sometimes. So we ask you now through the Holy Spirit to place a hunger and thirst for your righteousness. I would pray will you place a hunger and thirst for your word, Lord, and that it would be exciting, that we can amuse ourselves, Lord. We can be joyful in it. Lord, I would pray you would remove any burden that we might feel. And I would pray that you would replace it with joy and excitement of the things you say, because we're living to place it within our hearts, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that you care for us, you love us. And we thank you for all that you desire for us, and we just pray for your cleansing and that we would remain clean, Lord. How does a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word, Lord. So may your word be found in us, and may we become continue to be pure as we wait for you to return for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.